Well, so great again to see you all. Welcome. Let's go ahead and turn our attention, our hearts to Him. Let's worship this morning.
Have you ever seen the wonder in the glimmer of first sight? As the eyes begin to open and the blindness meets the light. If you have so, say,
I see the world in light. I see the world in wonder. I see the world in life, bursting in living color. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light. Have you ever seen the wonder in the air of second light?
I see the world your way. I'm not afraid to follow.
I see the world your way. I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in the light. I see the world in light. I see the world in wonder. I see the world in light.
Empty. You overflow in the wreckage.
Good news, here we go. No kingdom, no power, no ruler can stand before the great I am. No army, no weapon, no evil can stand before the great I am. Isn't that great news? Sing it again. Here we go. No kingdom, no power, no ruler can stand against the great I am. No army, no weapon, no evil can stand against the great I am. No sickness, no pain, no depression can stand against no hunger, no fear, no injustice.
I am worthy, I am found, I am free, all of that. mercy in the clouds of your glory. In your presence, I am worthy. I am found. I am free. All of heaven surrounding. I hear your voice overwhelming. In your presence, I am worthy.
Truth, Jesus, this morning we are free because of the work you've done. Holy Spirit, because of the presence in your life, we can live out that freedom. We're so thankful. We enter into all that you have for us today out of the goodness, the faithfulness that all comes through the presence of God in our life. I'm just thankful to be found by you this morning. Pray that each person here in these grounds is just found by you. Doesn't it feel good to be found? Some of us may be concerned of what God may find. But as these songs have been teaching and showing us this morning, it is for everyone, man. His love is so far-reaching. It's so good that nothing can stop that, you know, reach into our life. You know, he turns wreckage into gold, you know. The battles into victory, the chaos into peace, right? My desert feelings, just to drink from him in the midst of desert, you know, to become fearless and just really stand in the presence of God, right? Isn't all those words just so good that we've been singing this morning? And just wonder, I don't know for you guys, just that first song and then even this last one that just talks about the wonder of God. It's around us all the time, and even in our lives, in the ways that he is moving and his presence is making a difference in your life. There was that statement in the worship this morning as well of just how we stand. Standing is such an important aspect. What are you standing on? How firm? I want to read just a scripture this morning out of Psalm 40 that just came to my heart last night as I was just thinking of today. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry, and he lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. And so maybe for just some of us this morning, do you find yourself maybe feeling like in a pit or a mud or mire? He has heard you if you cry out, and he wants to show up. If we would be patient but to press into him, he's saying he will lift you up out of that. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. And that is a word I just want to say over you guys this morning. Just a lot of uncertainty world we've been living in. It's hard. It's frustrating. You're trying to navigate things. Isn't it good to have a thing that does not change in God? And this is one of the wonders of him. And the beauties of why our hearts stir to worship is because he steadies me as I walk along and my feet are on a solid ground. He has given me a new song to sing and a hymn of praise to God. Many will see what he has done and be amazed, and they will put their trust in the Lord. And this is always my passion in my heart, as you hear in me, and why I love worship. It's just singing of the goodness of God and the wonder of God. Check it out. Do you guys see it? Are you experiencing it? I hope so, right? Oh, the joys of those who trust in the Lord. And so if you have not done that and want to taste and see the goodness of God, I'm telling you, it is there to be experienced in the joys of truly trusting in him, who have no confidence in the proud or in those who worship idols. We do not want to be proud people. You know, it was sad. I was looking in Psalm 78, and it says that they saw the wonders, but they were rejecting it, and they just still didn't give themselves over to it. It is a choice we have. We don't have to accept God or his goodness, but he is an amazing God. Oh, Lord, my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to list. You have no equal. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. And so I hope that will be true for each of you. You know, as we come week to week here and just worship together as a body, you know, these songs are an opportunity for us to sing into that just from your own heart. You're connecting with some of those words, and so you give him thanks for the wonderful things he's doing, and hopefully there's an endless count of them in your life. He has not run out of his work that he wants to do with any and every one of us. And so I just pray as we continue to press in this morning and worship that our hearts would never stop being in wonder of God. Okay, just open our eyes. Let our hearts open up to just put God way outside a box. No boxes of God. Because he'll blow those things up. He is way bigger than all of that. And so let your heart and be amazed and in wonder of God. Amen?
The sun comes up. It's a new day dawn. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul, I worship His holy name.
Your holy name.
one king and just one crown. Can rule and reign here till the darkness has bowed down. So hear your people as we pray and humbly seek your face. We seek your face.
Oh, whatever you want. Whatever you ask, our lives are yours. We gladly lay them in your hands. Set revival free in our surrendering. Come start a fire and let it burn. We're crying out so heaven fills the earth. Whoa.
Just one goal can unify this great divine and make us whole. A royal priesthood for your name, a people called by your great name, by your great name.
Whatever you want, whatever you ask, lives are yours. We gladly lay them in your hands. Send revival free in our surrendering. Come start a fire and let it burn. We're crying out to heaven fills the earth. Whoa.
Amen. Right? Great prayer for our hearts this morning.
Good morning. I have a scripture I'm going to share this morning before Pastor Ron comes and shares it. And also we're going to pray a blessing upon him as he shares the message that God has placed in his heart. This is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, 1 through 11, 16 to 19, and 25 to 30. Verse 1, Hezekiah became king when he was 25 years old, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah. He did right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father had done, David. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them. He brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them into the square on the east. Then he said to them, "Listen to me, O Levites. Consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the house of the Lord, the God of your fathers, and carry the uncleanness out from the holy place. For our fathers have been unfaithful and have done evil in the sight of the Lord our God and have forsaken him and turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord and have turned their backs. They have also shut the doors of the porch and put out the lamps and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore the wrath of the Lord was against Judah and Jerusalem, and he has made them an object of terror, of horror, and of hissing, as you see with your own eyes. For behold, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his burning anger may turn away from us. My sons, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to minister to him, and to be his ministers and burn incense. It continues in verse 16 and says, so the priests went into the inner part of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and every unclean thing which they had found in the temple of the Lord, they brought out to the court of the house of the Lord. Then the Levites received it to carry out to the Kidron Valley. Now they began the consecration on the first day of the first month, and on the eighth day of the month they entered the porch of the Lord. Then he consecrated the house of the Lord in 8 days and finished on the 16th day of the first month. Then they went into King Hezekiah and said, we have cleansed the whole house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offering with all of its utensils and the table of showbread with all of its utensils. Moreover, all the utensils which King Ahaz had discarded during his unfaithful reign, we've cleaned and consecrated, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord. Verse 25 says, he then stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals, harps, and with lyres, according to the command of David and of Gad, the king's seer, and of Nathan the prophet, for the command was from the Lord through his prophets. The Levites stood with the musical instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah gave the order to offer the burnt offering on the altar. When the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord also began with the trumpets, accompanied by the instruments of David, king of Israel. While the whole assembly worshipped, the singers also sang, and the trumpets sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And now at the completion of the burnt offerings, the king and all who were present with him bowed down and worshipped. Moreover, King Hezekiah ordered the Levites to sing praises to the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. So they sang praises with joy and bowed down and worshipped. Incredible scriptures. Father, we ask blessings upon Ron. Here he is. We ask blessings upon Ron, Lord God, as you have placed a message in his soul, in his spirit, Lord God. And we pray, God, that he would share, Father, with all his passion, all that he's learned, Father, the things that you revealed to him. We pray, God, that our hearts would be open to receive those things that you have for us, that we truly would walk with you, Lord, in ways that maybe we've never even have, even as of this moment. And so, Father, use him as your instrument. We ask blessings upon him in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Before you go, Enrique, yes. you had a special happening this weekend, did
yes,
you not?
Yes.
You actually were not going to be here at one point in time.
Well,
for this weekend.
One time I was looking at going down to San Diego, and my folks live down there. But then we had we're going to celebrate our little grandson's first birthday.
Yeah.
That was yesterday. We had a little gathering. That was awesome. And then I had a birthday a couple days prior to that.
Yes, I was going to say, he's going to tell you about the grandson's birthday, but I'm going to make sure we also know that it was Enrique's 39th birthday as well. Okay.
I just have anniversaries of my birthday now. I don't celebrate anything past 39.
Not bad. Not bad. 39 years old, he's celebrating his grandson's first birthday. That is great. That's great. It's amazing to see all of you here. And you know what's amazing is that as I look out on the church here, as I look out on the brothers and sisters gathered together in Avalon today, and the visitors who are also brothers and sisters gathering together in Avalon, welcome. I see that those of you who are Avalonies, as I call them, are sitting in exactly the same place that you normally would if you were in church, where we are. I mean, Janie Sue is in the back pew. You know, it's almost, if you kind of look, you're going to see that COVID can interrupt us certain ways, like we're meeting out here. And that's a great interruption. But there are certain things we won't let it interrupt, right? Not these COVID times. But I do have a COVID confession to make. No drum rolls. My COVID confession is, since I have been kind of restrained at the house, I've realized that I am a mess.
Preach it, brother.
Amen. Amen. And I don't mean necessarily that I am I realize that I am a messy person. Of course, if you are a mess, you are going to create what? a mess. Messes everywhere. Yes, I am a messy person, and to many, that's not really any news at all. That's not a real big confession. To those who I live with, to those whom I work with, anyone here knows that my office is a mess? Everyone here knows that my room at home is a mess? And my closet? Oy vey. And now during this time of quarantine, my messes have become too hard to live with, even for me to live with. And all of my great organized piles, which they are, I normally know exactly where everything is, but these piles are now falling over onto each other, and I'm lost. I am lost. So I can't find the things that I need at the times that I need them. I know I've got to do something. I am forced to do something. It really hit me hard the other night when I began watching a cable TV show. I was exhausted. I don't know why. This quarantine thing just exhausts me. And I didn't even get up to get the, you know, the remote to change the channel. And so you just let what comes on come on. And it was this God-ordained movie or show, cable TV show called Hoarders. Actually, I think this one was Hoarding Buried Alive, or it was the chapter or something. And that did it. That did it. I was devoted then to cleaning up my act. And the first thing that I need to do, and the first thing any of us needs to do in that situation, is to be honest with ourselves. No, as it turned out in watching that program, I realized, no, I am not a hoarder. I'm not that bad yet. I am not a hoarder. I am a mess. I am a messy person. I am a junkaholic. That's two stages below hoarder, okay? But I'm on my way if I don't change my ways. What I did realize in watching that program, however, is just how serious hoarding actually is, and it's nothing to really laugh at. There are three criteria for real hoarding, and we need to pray for people who indeed are afflicted with this, some say a disease, but this ailment. The first one is excessive accumulation, of course, and that doesn't mean one thing in and one thing out. It means everything what? In, yeah, nothing. Nothing goes out. It means that fundamentally, inside the person who is the hoarder, there's either a broken check and balance system, or there is no check and balance system any longer. They cannot let things go. It's sad. Secondly, some or all of the living spaces that they used to live in, they cannot function in anymore the way that those spaces were designed to function. The program I was watching told of this lady who's literally living in a car in her driveway, the driveway of her house, because she cannot live in her house anymore. Her bed is just piled with everything, so she's literally sleeping in her car. She orders takeout, mostly pizza, that they deliver to the car. So, yeah, that goes a little bit beyond. Certain things are still done at home, but they're not done in the spaces where they were intended to be done. And thirdly, the person, I was going to say is upset, but it's more than upset. They're distressed. They're impaired. They cannot function normally. Something has happened. And they do say that in these times of stress, of course, these ailments are going up, aren't they? These kind of mentally disturbing ailments are going up. They're still living in their home, but they're adapting. They're stepping over things. They're moving things off of chairs so they themselves or others can sit on them. And it's changing their social life, isn't it? They're no longer inviting people over, especially family, because they're too ashamed. They're too embarrassed. So most of their social life happens outside their home. So, yeah. It's a condition that needs prayer, that needs some psychological and emotional help. If you know anybody like that, pray for them. Find somebody that can help them. There are recovery places now for hoarding, and they're doing fantastic jobs. Well, some of us this morning could probably be labeled clutter bugs. Some may be on the way to hoarding, like myself. So a little intervention is good, however, for all of us. I referred to it earlier. In my house, there is a rather cluttered closet, a disorganized closet. It seems that everything that needs to go somewhere but doesn't have a place to go ends up where? In the closet of chaos. The new name that I've given it. In the closet of chaos. And yes, it is a mess. Recently, my daughter Emily gave me a book, Joshua Becker's book, called The More of Less. It's a short book, thankfully, but it's very good. And he finally helped me to face a truth. And that truth is, the more stuff you own, the more your stuff owns you, right? Say that with me. The more stuff you own, the more your stuff owns you or ends up owning you. At times, we must pull all that stuff out of the closet and we must inventory it, as hard as that might be, right? We must inventory it. Go through it piece by piece if we want to bring order to chaos. After a while, I get tired of not being able to find what I need to find, and I know it's there in that closet, that black hole of a closet, and I take everything out, I organize it, some stuff I throw away, not enough, some I put where it's supposed to go, and there it sits for who knows how long, and some goes back into the closet, but in an organized way for a while. But when I do clean up my clutter, do I feel better? Do you feel better when you clean up your clutter? When you kind of take the chaos and form some peace out of it, as the psalm told us? Yes, I feel more in control. I feel more functional. I actually feel more fun as well, you know? And that freedom that I had allowed me to think over this last couple of months, well, if all of this applies to the physical side of my life, literally where I'm living, what do you think it does for the spiritual side of my life? Do I have clutter in my spiritual spaces? And if I have clutter in my physical spaces, chances are really good that I have an equal amount of clutter in my spiritual spaces. In those sacred spaces where I am supposed to be meeting with God, can I meet with God? Or is there too much there? Too much there. Sometimes we have to unclutter our lives spiritually as well. So I want to refocus the message this morning to reflecting on restoring those sacred places that we have, those spiritual places of our lives. Reflect so we can see more clearly what spiritual cleansing, what spiritual simplification can do for us. It can help us make the spiritual side of life feel more in control, right? As we realize who's really is in control. More functional. We become more spiritually. It's more spiritually fun as well. Because we are more spiritually free. We're no longer spiritual junk collectors or spiritual junkaholics. Truth is, in our spiritual or sacred places, there are things that, for lack of better words, are merely junk. It's junk, spiritual. Things that get stuck here and there instead of being tossed out anywhere, into the trash, whatever. We either didn't take the time to toss them out when we should have, just not let them enter into those spiritual spaces, those sacred places, or we just got lazy and we decided not to do it. We thought we should maybe hold on to it, perhaps even to use it against someone else later, to, quote, get even. And boy, that's a big mistake. So what's true in our physical lives is also true in our social, our emotional, and especially our spiritual lives. Every so often, we need to take some time and do some cleaning, some decluttering in our lives, physically, emotionally, socially, and most important, spiritually. And that is a biblical truth. and to show that it is biblical truth and to secure this biblical truth to a biblical context, which is always important, so I want us to turn to 2 Chronicles 29, that passage that Enrique read so well this morning. 2 Chronicles 29, which is the beautiful story of King Hezekiah. I love this story of King Hezekiah. He's only 25 years old when he took the throne following his father's death. And yet, so young, he was so aware, even at being so young, of what it meant to live a holy life. To live a holy... It tells us that Hezekiah was a lot like King David. It says his father David. Well, yes, he was of the line of David. Because King David loved the Lord with all of his heart, with all his soul, with all of his mind. And Hezekiah did the same. He lived a life of great humility. He lived a life of great wisdom. And the Bible tells us that the Lord blessed him and enabled him and the people of Israel to experience a tremendous blessing during his reign, whether it be David or whether it be Hezekiah. King Ahaz was Hezekiah's true dad. And he did his best to anger the Lord and do everything that he could to prove to the people of Israel that he was in charge of, that he didn't believe in the Lord God. Ahaz chose to serve the gods of the Canaanites, Baal and Molech. The Bible records that more than once King Ahaz volunteered one of his own children, luckily not Hezekiah, to be sacrificed in the fires of Molech, according to the ways of the people of Canaan. And it's hard for us to imagine, us today, that people would be willing to sacrifice their children to false gods. But archaeologists have unearthed plenty of evidence that that indeed was the case. It all changed under King Hezekiah. He protected, he was protected, and he was raised by a mother who understood the one true God and who loved the one true God, the God of creation. And the young man's faith grew. The steps that we see King Hezekiah taking with the temple are steps that we can take with our own temple. Because what does the New Testament tell us about the temple of God on earth now? It doesn't have to be a building. It isn't a building anymore. It is where? It is in the heart of his people. We are his temple. And so as we look to see what Hezekiah did to restore the temple, let's think about what we can do in similar steps, not physical ones, but spiritual ones, to rebuild, restore our temples. It says, first he opened the door, and he let the Lord in, and he let the light in. 29 verse 3. In the first year of his reign, in the first month, he opened the doors of the house of the Lord and he repaired them. The first thing Hezekiah does is open the doors of the temple to allow God and God's light in, to see all that needs to be done. The temple was constructed in those days in such a way that when the doors opened up, the morning sun was able to light up the whole inside. And so, yes, you could see everything that's in the temple. And you could see all the junk that was there, and there was plenty. There was plenty. The primary thing that we need to do, beloved, is to, yes, allow God's light in. And who is God's light? God's Holy Spirit. We need to let him in to shine into all the aspects of our lives, starting, of course, with the spiritual. If the spiritual is clean, the rest can be clean as well. Open all the spiritual closets, all the drawers, and anywhere else that we want and need the Lord to bring order to chaos. Open the doors and let the Lord in. Let his light in. Let his Holy Spirit in. It's not by accident we read these words in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Tovu wavohu. I love it. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the earth and the face of the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God was saying, Holy Spirit, turn on your power. Turn the power on, since he indeed is the spirit of creation. Amen. What's amazing about this light is that it did not come from the sun, because the sun wasn't created until verse 16 of Genesis 1, right? It didn't come from the sun. So this is the supernatural light from who? From God himself. Supernatural light from God himself. God's light emanating from God himself, making true what John writes in 1 John 1:5. God is light. And so, yes, when we open up and let him in, we are letting his light shine within. Revelation chapter 22, verse 5. The other end of the good book. There will be no more night. They'll not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. And all God's people said. So the same is true with our lives. Whether it's our physical lives, our emotional lives, our social lives, but especially true of our spiritual lives, we need to allow the light of God, the Holy Spirit, in to shine. For if we don't, we'll never recognize what really needs to be uncluttered. We won't recognize how much clutter we actually do have, and we will not be able to cleanse it from our lives, because we can't do that ourselves, can we? It is that light that is going to be able to do that, to empower us to do it. The evil one, the devil, Satan, does his best to put all kinds of things in our spiritual places. All kinds of things. He leaves little reminders of our failures, our addictions, all the ways that we've missed the mark, and he does so hoping to cause us great guilt and shame, because guilt and shame just piles in those places like nobody's business. And that's why we need the light of the Lord to show they're all lies, which will show us the truth and show us if the things that we've cluttered up our lives with are real things, or maybe they're not. But we'll be able to deal with them, with him. The light of the Lord will cast out the darkness and all the things that will harm our lives and cause us to become depressed, that cause us to become powerless. So before we do anything, before we touch our spiritual lives, our emotional lives, our social lives, we need to invite the Holy Spirit to shine his light, the light of God's glory and God's grace into our situation. And we can because of what Jesus Christ has done. Amen. And when we receive what Jesus Christ has done, when we receive him as our Lord and Savior, who is it that we receive within? The Holy Spirit. That light is turned on. The light is lit. And boy, it's amazing what it shows us, isn't it? Secondly, 29 verse 4, what did Hezekiah do? Verse 4, it says, he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them into the square on the east. And he said to them, listen to me, O Levites, consecrate yourselves now and consecrate the house of the Lord, the God of our fathers, and carry the uncleanness out from the holy place. So King Hezekiah's next step was to clean up and consecrate. That's a pretty good next step for us also, right? After the light has been shown. After allowing the light to come in, it's rather easy to see what needs to be removed from the temple. Anything pagan, anything that's just junk, that gets in the way of us meeting with our God. Things that no one knew what to do with, so they just kind of put it in the temple, like in the days before Hezekiah. Over the years, it became a storehouse of junk. Literally, of junk. Old idols that were broken or could not be repaired. They put them in the temple. Since King Ahaz didn't believe in God, he showed his disrespect by junking up God's palace, God's place. In his mind, the temple of God was no better than a junkyard. It was better than a chaos closet. And that's exactly what he turned it into. And in so doing, literally destroyed it. And Hezekiah immediately began a clean up and consecrate campaign. Clean up and consecrate mission. He got rid of the rubbish. He got rid of the mess. He got rid of the disorder. And he knew exactly who to get to do that. That is the priests. It was their job. It was their function. Anything that hid the beauty of the temple was gone. It was worthless. It was taken away. In that same way, we're invited to do the same. We're invited to allow the Holy Spirit to come in, shine a light, and then experience firsthand the word of the Apostle Paul that he shares to those in Ephesus in Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness, all wrath, all anger, all clamor, all slander be put away, and literally put out of you, along with all malice and all evil. Yeah, the devil loves to go messing around in the sacred places of our lives, doesn't he? And he loves to fill it with junk. Fill those sacred spaces with junk so that we can't see what is good, so we can't know what is right, what is holy. He loves it when instead of having a life that is well-ordered and a life that is righteous, it's full of all kinds of things that will stop us from becoming the people that God desires us to become. And has designed us to become. Remember, be holy as I am holy. It's said several times in the Bible. Just in Leviticus alone, it's Leviticus 19, 20, 21. It's even said in 1 Peter as he repeats it. Be holy as I am holy. The Bible tells us King Hezekiah got rid of all the junk and all the evil permanently. He set it on fire in the Valley of Kidron, making sure it was gone, never to return. In like manner, we need to allow the Holy Spirit's refining fire to purge us, to consecrate our spiritual spaces, making them sacred again. He'll burn that which is junk. He'll enable that which is good. He will allow us to become consecrated once again. He will sanctify us, making us whole, complete, finally, as only He could do. And lastly, third, verses 18 through 30. Then they went into King Hezekiah, the priests and the Levites, and said, "We've cleansed the whole house of the Lord, the altar of burnt offering with all of its utensils, the table of showbread with all of its utensils, all the essentials. Moreover, all the utensils which King Ahaz had discarded during his unfaithful reign, we've cleaned and we've consecrated. And behold, they're before the altar of the Lord, ready for service." And he then stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and harps and with lyres, and according to the command of David and of Gad the seer, the king's seer, and so Nathan the prophet as well. For the command was from the Lord through his prophets. And the Levites stood with the musical instruments of David and the priests with the trumpets. And Hezekiah gave the order to offer the burnt offering on the altar. And when the burnt offerings began, the song to the Lord also began with trumpets accompanied by the instruments of David, king of Israel. While the whole assembly worshipped, the singers also sang and the trumpets sounded, and all this continued until the burnt offering was finished. How beautiful. How glorious. How fantastic. How glorifying for our God. And now at the completion of the burnt offerings, the king and all who were present with him bowed down and worshipped. Moreover, Hezekiah ordered the Levites to sing praises to the Lord with the words of David and Asaph the seer. So they did. They sang praises with joy and bowed down and worship. That third step is, yes, become sanctified. Be ready to serve and do serve. There's something wonderful that happens after our spiritual space has been cleansed, after it's been made sacred, and we've allowed the light of the Holy Spirit to shine upon the junk, get rid of all of it, after allowing the Holy Spirit's fire to purge and purify our spiritual space, restoring its sacredness. We are now sanctified, and we are ready to serve and to give God the praise that He so richly deserves. And it's the only way we can give God the praise that He so richly deserves. King Hezekiah's uncluttering was not done just to repair the temple so that it would look good. He was interested in opening the doors for worship, opening the doors for worshipers to come back in and to praise God, to come back in and to serve God. Those who'd enter in and bring their prayers, their praises, bring their lives to the Lord, dedicating their all to His service, where they can find their spiritual spaces cleansed and renewed. Hezekiah was interested in recreating, in cleaning, in making righteous the sacred spaces of Israel, both the physical and the spiritual, where people could come and know that they are in the presence of the Lord God Almighty. Hezekiah's main interest was to bring the Shekinah glory back to God, back to His temple. And we need to clean up our spiritual spaces so that He will fill us, His New Testament temples, with that same Shekinah glory. Amen. So this morning we acknowledge that one of the reasons for uncluttering and cleaning up our spiritual lives of all of its unnecessary, unworthy things is to rid ourselves of those things that can harm us. But that's not the main reason. It's not so that we look good. The main reason is to provide more useful, worthy, sacred space for the Lord to meet us, to work on us and in us, and through us, to share our lives with us, and to celebrate our lives all with Him. And if our lives are filled with all kinds of junk, either junk that we put there or junk that the devil and others put there, why? To separate us from God, to do just that. Well, then we need to take the time to remove it. Remove it all. Get rid of it and ask the Holy Spirit to cleanse and to sanctify our spiritual space, making it a sacred place for God to be, for God to reside. And I pray we'll all take time, we'll all open our spiritual spaces to allow the Lord to shine on anything in our emotional and spiritual life that needs uncluttering throughout this week. I pray we'll also allow the Holy Spirit to talk to us and show us all the things we no longer need to hold on to. Grudges, bitterness, hard or hurt feelings. Are there things that still weigh us down? Old doubts, guilt, sin. Are there things that we need to let go? Then do. Are there people with whom we need to reconcile? Then do. Are there areas in our lives that are a mess that need to get straightened up? If we'll do that this week, our work, I know that we'll be better for it. So let's allow God to do some sacred soul cleaning in our hearts. Amen? Amen.
Ron, thank you. That was a good word. That was a good word. Good morning, everyone. Back in February, the first week, a book came out that I had no idea, and neither did the world, would be so timely with the pandemic kicking in right about that time. And the book is called Get Your Life Back, Everyday Practices for a World Gone Mad. Ron was just encouraging me, but more or less it was a loving command. It wasn't even a helpful suggestion to not only look at the physical, but to go in there and to cleanse those things so that we can get into the spiritual cleansing as well. And there is an order. And there are things which this island is set up for to do both. Ron, thank you for that. This little nugget I pulled out of this book says, you'll live a bodily existence, the physical life, with all the glories of senses, appetites, and passions. This is the life God meant for us. It's through our senses we learn most every important lesson. Even in spiritual acts of worship, or in this case, some cleaning out and prayer, we are standing or kneeling, engaging bodily. God put your soul in this amazing body and then put you in a world perfectly designed for that experience, which is why the rescue of the soul takes place through our engagement with the real world. Thus the quote, variously attributed to Churchill, Will Rogers, and Ronald Reagan, that the best thing for the inside of a man or woman is the outside of a horse. Because when we encounter an actual horse, not online, not through Instagram, not the little horse emoji on your phone, but a living, breathing, 1,000-pound animal, we're thrust into a dynamic encounter with the real. It calls things out of us, not only fears, anger, and impatience to be overcome, but intuition and presence and a sort of firm kindness that no video game can ever replicate. There's no switch you can flip. You must engage. Reality shapes us. I love world-class soccer, the author writes. Football in every country but the U.S. I can watch hours of it in a stretch, but I feel bleary-headed afterwards. Foggy, disoriented, like a bird that hit a window. Just compare how you feel after binge-watching hours of screen anything. TV, video, games, YouTube, with how you feel when you come off a mountain bike ride or a swim in the ocean. Living in an artificial world is like spending your life wrapped in plastic wrap. You wonder why you feel tired and numb and a little depressed when the simple answer is you have a vitamin D deficiency. There's no sunlight in your life, literally and figuratively. Ron talked to us about the Holy Spirit and opening the light up into those areas of our life, allowing Him to come in. The author continues, he says, our body, soul, and spirit atrophy because we were made to inhabit a real world, drawing life, joy, and strength from it, to be shaped by it, to relish in it. Living your days in an artificial world is like having your whole life with gloves on, a mask on, a filtered experience, never really feeling anything. So you wonder why your soul feels numb. I close with this. As I met my friend Scott this morning, who's visiting, and he loves to dive in the ocean, there is nothing static here. Everything on this island is in flux, just like the very personality and character of God Himself. Catalina Island is a reminder that God does exist and seeks a relationship with you personally. And you'll find Him. You'll find Him when you get out there. We're looking for more of God, he says. You're far more likely to find Him in a walk through the orchard or a sit by a pond than you are in a subway terminal. How about Hermit's Gulch? Of course, God is with us and for us wherever we are. But in terms of refreshment, renewal, restoration, in terms of finding God in ways we can drink deeply of His wonderful being, you do better to look for Him in the cry of the gull than the scream of the siren. God inhabits the world He made. His vibrancy permeates all creation. Isaiah says, the whole earth is filled with His glory. Amen? It's there. He's there. Christ ascended higher than all the heavens so that He might fill the entire universe with Himself. Ephesians 4, 9 through 10. Way to go, guys. You made it here today. Forecast was warmer, and you made the sacrifice, you came out. Now, the Word of God has gone out. Let it sink in. Let it change. Let it do something. Don't just chalk this service up to another attended service. The church has left the building. We're outdoors, and there's a reason we still do it, because you are the church. Your body is a temple. And Ron, thank you for reminding us. Most importantly, we are the temple. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. Father, thank you for the word that has gone out. And like Ron said, this is truly an amazing story. And what happened there in the temple, and those hours, those days, and the challenge that was before those who took the challenge up, and the light came in. May we look at nature today, not from the window of a television, but literally because we put our feet on the ground. And we went outdoors and we found our Creator waiting to walk with us. And we're there to hear from Him. To God be the glory for everything that was said today. We give you the praise and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You're welcome to stand with us as we close. Turning our attention to the King of our hearts and this world. Let the King of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, He is my song.
You are good, good.
Take your time. You don't have to rush out. So by all means, you can hang and say hi to some people. Just watch your social distancing with each other. But God bless you guys. Have a great rest of your weekend. And enjoy this beautiful day.
Blessed be your name. Place, though I walk
You guys have a great day.